From KLW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Alamo Square.
I live in Noe Valley.
Corona Heights. Western
Addition. I live in North Oakland, right by MacArthur BART Station.
Coming up, we'll head to San Francisco's Embarcadero and take a long, hard look at the Warriors basketball arena that's not there yet.
And I predict that should this facility be built at that particular site, people will look at it 3 or 4 years from now and say, who the hell did that?
Then we'll launch our series about Bay Area jobs with a three-wheeled ride on San Francisco's wharf.
Pedicabs are really silly, you know, so people get in and they're always giggling and having a blast, and if they're feeling feisty, they're gonna start grabbing your butt.
And we'll explode some myths about the game of paintball.
People think it's dangerous, even though it's really not dangerous. It's one of the most safest sports out there.
Getting serious about fun and games today on Cross Currents. San Francisco's waterfront is booming. It's become a major destination for tourists and locals, celebrated 2 World Series wins, and is currently playing host to the America's Cup sailing race. There's a new cruise ship terminal and a reinvented exploratorium. And now, the Embarcadero is preparing itself for another huge makeover.
Curry, another triple. Stephen Curry has become a flame thrower to start the second half.
In May of last year, the Golden State Warriors basketball team announced that they wanted to leave their Oakland complex and move across the bay.
And it's been 41 years since the Warriors played here in San Francisco, and in my humble opinion, it's time to welcome them home.
But in order to move, they'll need somewhere to play. So on a sunny day last spring, Mayor Ed Lee, city officials, and representatives from the Warriors gathered at Piers 30 to 32 on the Embarcadero. With the bay behind them, they unveiled a proposal for a 12-story glass arena situated out on the water under the Bay Bridge. The arena isn't going to be cheap. The latest estimates suggest it could cost the Warriors up to $1 billion, and the city at least $120 million in private construction costs. But Mayor Lee says it's an investment, a construction project that would create thousands of jobs, and it's an arena that's close to public transit and would draw fans and their wallets from around the region. And more importantly for San Francisco, it would allow a private company to fix up the crumbling piers, something local leaders have been trying to accomplish for more than 20 years, and the city says it can't afford to do by itself. To hear Mayor Lee tell it, everyone is on board for the new Warriors Stadium.
We've got commissioners from our port, staff from our port, Recreation and Park Department, our planning department. We have our board of supervisors from all of the different districts.
But zoom out from the press conference and you'll find critics. They say San Francisco just can't handle another arena. KALW's Angela Johnston has our story.
In a speech about the Golden State Warriors' new basketball arena on the waterfront, former Mayor Gavin Newsom compared San Francisco to Athens.
As an ex-mayor, I love to quote other ex-mayors, and I think the most quotable is Pericles, who said to the Athenians, "We do not imitate, for we are a model to others." That's San Francisco, and that's this project. This is
about— Not every ex-mayor feels this way.
I'm not getting paid to oppose this. I'm a volunteer. I don't live in the neighborhood. I just happen to be a resident of San Francisco.
This is former Mayor Art Agnos. He served from 1988 to 1992. After the 1989 Loma Prieta earthquake, he led the effort to tear down the Embarcadero Freeway rather than rebuild it. The new arena, he says, would undo that good work.
I remember throughout the previous 30 years that I've lived in San Francisco, people would say, look at the double-decker freeway that used to spoil the entire waterfront. People would say, who the hell did that? And I predict that should this facility be built at that particular site, people will look at it 3 or 4 years from now and say, who the hell did that?
The 12-story arena will sit right on the piers, occupying an area about 3 times the size of Union Square. Proponents point out that the development includes a significant amount of open public space. Plus, it's close to transit. In short, it's green. But Agnos says not green enough.
We don't have the traffic. I mean, we don't have the traffic plan to accommodate almost 6 million people in any part of the city, and especially that one.
On a recent afternoon, I went to scope out the new site.
It's a beautiful day. I'm standing along the Embarcadero, looking out at the water and looking at Piers 3032. And right now it's covered in big white tents. Those are the America's Cup team bases. And there's some big super yachts out on the water. They're towering about 100 feet into the sky. And I was told a few weeks ago that the Warriors Arena is going to be 50 feet taller than those giant yachts.
Across the street from the development site, right underneath the Bay Bridge, Katie Liddell lives in an 8th-floor apartment.
So this is some of the main things, some of the comments that were submitted.
Liddell chairs the Citizens Advisory Committee, or CAC, for the arena development. In her apartment are thick folders full of people's questions about the project.
Oh, here it is. Air quality. A lot of it really revolves around transportation.
Liddell's got a personal stake, too.
I'm sitting in here in my place looking around, and I know I have to dust every day because I have black dust that comes in, and I know that that's a result of the Bay Bridge and the cars and the traffic around me.
The city's acknowledged these issues. Jennifer Matz is the mayor's director of waterfront development. We met in a high-ceiling conference room in City Hall.
A project of this scale is going to require an extensive environmental look.
Even though the architectural plans aren't finalized, the Warriors took a risk and paid millions to have this environmental review start earlier than it normally would. This raised eyebrows among people who opposed the project. People like former Mayor Art Agnos are suspicious that the review, called an EIR, has been fast-tracked. But Matt says this EIR will actually take longer than usual, up to a year and a half. There's a lot to study. Everything from how construction will affect marine life to whether the arena's glass facade is a hazard to birds. And, of course, the traffic.
You have pedestrians, you have bicycles, you have the local traffic and parking issues, you have...
Peter Albert works for the San Francisco Municipal Transportation Agency, or MTA. He's drafted an entire waterfront assessment, looking at how projects from Hunters Point Shipyard to Crissy Field will affect how people get around.
It doesn't do anybody any good if solutions for one particular project don't really jive well with solutions with the project next door.
Albert says the Warriors are already brainstorming smart transportation options that could also be seen as future investments for the city. Things like working with existing garages to stay open late for games, or selling transit passes along with game tickets. But ultimately, overlapping games isn't even the biggest issue. Last October, while the Giants were busy winning the World Series, Oakland's Oracle Arena put on jazz and comedy shows, Warriors preseason games, and a Justin Bieber concert. The new arena will hold 19,000 people, and it's supposed to put on 150 events a year, which means the Giants fans and the Beliebers could be partying on the same night in the same neighborhood. Katie Liddell says that will have obvious consequences.
People who come to events or games right now leave their litter. They use the sidewalks as bathrooms. And it's just generally very dirty here in the neighborhood after an event.
Waterfront Director Jennifer Matz says that's the kind of thing the city is working hard to remember.
We have no intention of choking the neighbors in order to benefit patrons of an arena or a ballpark. The experience needs to work for everyone.
And Matt says part of this project's appeal for the city is this type of experimentation, this risk.
Many cities at this stage in their development in Western countries and certainly in the United States have something of a finished quality to them. And I think San Francisco has an opportunity to not be a finished city, but to still be a city that is continuing to evolve and define itself. And one of the places that we are most perfectly set up to have that conversation and to do that is along our waterfront.
Many people have pushed the city in the past. Even former Mayor Art Agnos proposed a cruise ship terminal theme park called the Scandinavian Center back in 1990. But the money fell through. just as it did in 2000, 2008, and last fall when Oracle abandoned a proposal for a permanent America's Cup development on the pier. The Warriors seem willing to spend, maybe $1 billion. But for now, a San Francisco arena isn't a slam dunk. In San Francisco, I'm Angela Johnston for Cross Currents. You've
seen a new look. What do you think about development on San Francisco's waterfront? Are you for the new Warriors Stadium, or do you have concerns? You can call and let us know. Just leave us a message at 415-264-7106. That number again is 415-264-7106. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Holly Kernan. Whatever gets built or not built along the waterfront, it's still one of the best places to enjoy some fabulous San Francisco views. And what better way to do that than by riding in a sparkly red fiberglass carriage powered by a friendly bicyclist tour guide. You can pay for a ride to just about anywhere in San Francisco, hills permitting, of course. But the best place to find an open pedicab is along the Embarcadero. There, the sounds of passing bike bells have become just as common as the rumbling trolleys and squawking seagulls. KALW's Leah Rose caught a ride with Kobe Wilson, a pedicab driver for Cabrio Taxi, and she brings us this story.
You want to hop in? Go on, little buddy. All right, folks.
My name's Kobe Wilson. I'm a pedicab driver. I've been doing it since the end of last summer. So almost a year. Before I was a pedicabber, I worked at the Fairmont Hotel, and I had benefits, I had dental, vision, health, insurance, and I was making really good money. So I definitely took a pay cut to be a pedicab driver in the beginning, because I started working here in the winter when it's terrible as far as the amount of money you make. But the quality of life was so much better. That's what really sold it for me, is that I'm making less money, but I get to work whenever I want. I get to be outside rather than working, you know, nights in the basement of a fancy hotel serving rich people. I'm just so much happier now in every way. So we post up in different places, down at Fisherman's Wharf or at the ferry building or at Pier 33 where the Alcatraz boat lets off. And we just wait for people to come up, ask them if they want to ride, and people hop in. The other strategy is to just ride back and forth up and down the Embarcadero and just wait till someone hops in. Let's go make some money. Pedicab rides. I mean, pretty much everybody riding around here is a tourist, or walking around here is a tourist, so you just got to kind of convince them that you're not a con man, that this is a legit thing that you do, and that they'll get in. Like here, okay, we got a couple cabs coming by. We got what? Some middle-aged ladies, you know, they have some shopping bags and backpacks, obviously tourists. They look like they want to ride. They're having a good time, so that guy made a good call to ask them.
Hey.
There's a lot of regulations around being a pedicabber in San Francisco. You have to get permits through three different, you know, offices in the city. It took me over 2 months to get everything. There's a hearing involved. You have a test. You have to go to the DMV. You have to go to the police station. You have to go City Hall. It costs over $400, a little bit over $400. But the nice thing about our company is that they don't make you pay for the rent on the bike until you've made back that $400. We rent the bike for the day, and then everything we make, we make. On a really slow winter day, it could be as low as $30. And then on a really busy day, it could be $100. We do have a schedule here that has all the prices for all the areas in the city. And those prices are approved by the city. We are generally charging less than what is approved by the city. Because usually it's like $8 for every extra person or something like that. I rarely will charge people more for more people. I'm happy to get them into the cab at whatever price. So I'm always happy to get a ride rather than just sit around and do nothing. So I went to the Golden Gate Bridge the other day for $60, which is a lot of money, but it's miles and hills, and it took me over an hour, and I was exhausted afterwards, but we all had a good time, so it was worth it. It does take a little while to learn where everything is, and this is a part of the neighborhood, or part of the city I'd never been to. You know, I live out in the sunset, and I think I went to Pier 39 once when I was like 6 years old, but who comes? Like, you're from San Francisco. Who comes to the Embarcadero? No one, if you remember. So it's funny when you're first starting out and people go, oh, so where's a good place to eat around here? And I go, well, not around here. Pedicabs are really silly, you know, so people get in and they're always giggling and having a blast. And so if they're feeling feisty, they're gonna start grabbing your butt. It's right there. I mean, look, you know, I'm sitting on that seat right there. It's my butt's in your face the whole time. Hey, that's $5 every pinch. And they go, ha ha ha. We have a little chart right here that says, here, let's see what it says. It says, thank you for choosing Cabrio Taxi. We have fully functional signals and brake lights. A seatbelt is available, and we encourage you to use it. These are the rules here. Do not stand on the pedicab or sit on the fiberglass carriage. So, no sitting on the edges here. We're not responsible for reckless behavior. People like to get wild in here sometimes, especially when they've been drinking. Oh, there's actually a funny story yesterday. One of our riders was coming back to the shop and picked up a group of four drunk girls who were trying to give people high fives as they were going by. And this cyclist coming the other way went for a high five. And fell. Before he even got the high five, he just lost his balance and just fell right in front of him. And so that was a scary moment where he's like, oh my God, I'm going to cause an accident because of these crazy drunk girls. Well, it really is a lifestyle. It's more than just a job. It really is. Like, I wake up in the morning some days, and like today, it's a Friday. It's sunny out. I know there's going to be tons of people out, so I was excited to come to work today. I would not like to do this for the rest of my life, but until I find something better, this is it.
For more information on enjoying the waterfront or taking a pedicab ride yourself, visit our website, klw.org. This is Cross Currents from KLW News. I'm Holly Kernan. People around here would probably tell you that biking in the city counts as an extreme sport. Well, here's another one, paintball. There are leagues all over the country, like the National Professional Paintball League and Paintball Sports Promotions, and many outside of the U.S. Here's how the game works. You run around with a paintball gun, and you shoot your enemy with pellets full of paint. Although that might sound unsafe, the people who play say it's fun and a great rush. KLW student reporter Christian Rose, a paintballer himself, headed out to the field to show us what makes this messy sport so appealing.
And we started.
About once a month, 15 friends and I meet up in Vacaville to shoot each other with bright orange paint. We spend about 6 hours running around a field, hiding in large wooden bunkers, and waiting for a chance to tag our enemies. I mean, friends. Some people might think of paintball as a barbaric sport, but to me, it's fun, in fact, addictive. My friend Alberto Hernandez thinks so too.
I play paintball because it's like an addiction. You just get hooked up. Just by playing, it's like an escape from reality.
Alberto's been playing for almost 4 years. I played with him for about a year. He invited me along one day, and it was so much fun that I wanted to go again and again. Now I go about once a month, and before every game, I listen to some music to pump myself up for what's ahead. Alberto and my other friend, Reggie Hernandez, also have little rituals before each match.
Before every game, I kind of pray So everyone has a good game and everyone has fun, no injuries.
Usually stretch and then give a heartfelt speech with my team.
Alberto, I'm moving to you. Oh,
this is me playing paintball with my friends. What you just heard is me running towards another bunker and paintball gunshots around me. Although you're only getting splattered with paint, that paint pellet needs to break. And when it breaks, it hurts. So we always wear gear like protective jerseys and tactical vests to keep us from getting too many bumps and bruises. I play paintball at a few different places, but they always have a staff member give the rules to newcomers and beginners, like in Vacaville.
Our safety rules right here. Rule number one is the most important safety rule. At all times when you guys are inside the netted area, when you guys are on the playing field, you have to keep your goggles on and down at all times to make sure your eyes are safe.
This is the most important safety rule. If that paintball hits your eye, you could get temporarily blinded and maybe even have retinal damage. So you're gonna need a mask. But once you have that, you're completely safe. Besides the bumps and bruises. But you won't really get seriously hurt. Here's my friend Christopher DeCastro.
People think it's dangerous, even though it's really not dangerous. It's one of the most safest sports out there. You won't get any serious injuries. Like, chances of getting a serious injury is like 1 out of 200,000 people.
So I did some research. The Consumer Product Safety Commission says that paintball is safer than bowling. I love paintball because I get all my frustrations out. It's hard to explain, but it's awesome. I'm just 16, but I get stressed out sometimes. I have family responsibilities, I'm worried about school and college, and a lot about my future. But with paintball, I could forget about it all for a bit. Alberto, Chris, and Reggie explain it this way.
You're in a small box, small field, and nothing else in the world matters except for those 4 or 5 minutes of the game. Because you're just so into the game with that, all the adrenaline flowing throughout your whole body.
Like when I'm playing, it feels like nothing else matters but winning. But that's not the only thing. It's like, as soon as the bell rings, it's like nothing else matters. It's an unbelievable feeling that you feel every time when you play paintball. It's just indescribable. You have to play it to believe it.
You just feel free, and you feel like the outside world doesn't really have anything to affect you. It's just you.
The thing I don't like about paintball is that it's not really popular. Even though we try to have other people play with us, they're still hesitant. So here are some reasons why you should go out and play, from people who know.
Well, you really have nothing to lose. Paintball isn't, it's just scary on what people put, or society puts on it, because you're shooting, and if you get hit, it'll hurt. But after you get through the pain, it's just really fun. Yeah, it makes you want to come back again.
I mean, you only have one life. You want to try as many things as you can before your life ends. So just give it a shot.
And when you give it a shot, don't get shot. Unless you want to get covered in paint. For Cross Currents, I'm Christian Rose.
Christian Rose is a rising senior at Burton High School in San Francisco, where KALW is based. He was a summer reporting intern with us this year. And if you're like Christian and you want to shoot some paintballs yourself, you can find information at our website, kalw.org. And that's it for today's Cross Currents from KALW News, which is celebrating 5 years on the air as of yesterday. Happy birthday, Cross Currents! Our team includes Hana Baba, Julie Kane, Tiffany Kamhai, Jen Chien, Leela Day, Audrey Dilling, Ashley Ann Krigbaum, Teddy Lederer, Seth Samuel, Judy Silber, Stephen Short, Nina Gensler-Debs, Holly McDeed, and Daniel Moore. Today's show was engineered by Chris Hoff. Casey Miner is our senior editor. Our managing editor is Martina Castro. Ben Trefney is our executive editor. And thanks to you, KALW is independent, listener-supported public radio. The guitar you're hearing is being played by Solomon Mungia. Patrons of the 81st Avenue East Oakland Library might occasionally hear Mungia practicing in one of the study rooms there. That's where our community storytelling project Hear Hear found him one day, getting ready to make some music with his friend Giovanni Gaines. Hear Hear producer Audrey Dilling asked Mungia how he first learned to play guitar.
I went through like 2 training sessions on this just one song the summer before last. And ever since then, I just, like, started teaching myself how to do whatever.
Mungia has also started teaching Gaines to play.
By the time of the summer, we'll be able to consider ourselves our official band.
That was back in May. Now that summer is here, Mungia and his band are set to perform at the 81st Avenue Library National Night Out Party tomorrow night. The event starts at 6 p.m. in front of the library. Mungia's band, now called Versatile, will kick it off. We'll be there to celebrate, so come out and say hello. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly Kernan.